windows don't open to after dark, and it ain't till 12 till the party really starts. And I always had to be home by 10, right before the fun was about to begin. Crowds of people lined up inside and out, just for one reason, to rock the house. But in the daytime, the streets were clear, you couldn't find a good freak anywhere.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your friendly Pinhead 198 back with another episode, and it is spook time. It's that time of year. You got to be excited for it. We got a packed show, and we're going to have a couple. I'll tell you right now, the agenda is to do one more horror version Halloween type show. And we'll do some reviews, aside from the one we're doing right now. We'll do some reviews. I will be reviewing Exorcist Believer in the next episode. I'm going to see it. It's just, I'm obligated to do it and review it and to make sure that if it's that as bad as it is, nobody sees it. I'm hoping this movie bombs, because I've already heard most of the spoilers. And one of my good friends, she's in the know. She works for a lot of people that have their head to the ground. She's seen the movie already. She told me about it. I said, just spoil it for me and I will go see it. But it sounds like absolute fucking average dog shit. It sounds like it's worse than our worst expectations to begin with. So thank you, David Gordon Green, for proving that you're a bait and switch grifter director in the horror movie community. And you're a fucking hack when it comes to writing horror films. That'll be a treat. But we'll get into that later on. On this episode, we're going to talk about Saw X, which is, you know, at the end of the day, they try and say that it's not canon, that Spiral wasn't canon, but then someone else comes up who's in authority says it was canon, but no one can make up their mind, so it's Saw X / Saw 11. We'll do a review on that, I'll get into it, and I'll get into some things that I really liked about the movie and some things that I just wanted to run my head through a wall. We'll talk about Chucky Season 3, Episode 1. I love the first season. I hate the second season. I'm just going to come out and say it. I did not like the second season. I thought it was lackluster compared to what we've gotten recently with Cult, Curse, and the first season of Chucky. Season 2 was fucking lackluster. There were some high points, and then there was some, when the low points came, they were really fucking low. And I'm starting to see a similar pattern here. And we'll get into an interesting little nugget I've talked to other people about before, and this is true, because I looked it up and researched it, and it is true, and it pisses me off, and we'll get into that when we review Season 3 of Chucky. And then I'll start off with talking about, the free games of the month on PlayStation don't fucking matter, but the one that we got this October was the Callisto Protocol. And I've only played, excuse me, I think I'm getting sick. Sorry, folks, but it's the way it is. I played only an hour and a half of this, and so far, I'm not impressed. I don't hate it, but there's parts of it where, for one, the problem I have, and I see this as a pattern, Dead Space, the original Dead Space and the remake, I can say, because I've played a little Dead Space, the original, quite a bit to know. Especially more, I played more of the original Dead Space than I played of Callisto Protocol so far. And I beat the remake. I love the remake. But the things that Dead Space 1 and 2, and I played Dead Space 2, haven't beat it yet. I need to get finished on it. But I know that they have jump scares, but they don't use it as a crutch like the Callisto Protocol is used. I've only been an hour, maybe probably, truth be told, I've only played an hour and 15 to 20 minutes of this game. And this game has utilized nothing but jump scares. And not in a good way to where you're like, oh shit, you're on the edge of your seat. It's a crutch. And it's annoying. It's not scary. It's just obnoxious. I'm up to the point where you finally got the power glove. The Nintendo Power Glove where you can, you know, telepathically bring people over and push, you know, like you could in Dead Space. Like you could in, like, Bioshock to a certain extent, using your hand as a power. So, we're doing this again, only they're doing it at a level where you're like, it's kind of stupid. This game kind of reminds me, it doesn't just remind me of Dead Space, it reminds me of an old PlayStation 2 game that I played. I don't know if many of you played it. It was back in 2004. It was called Jet Li's Rise to Honor. And they did the same shit that this game does, utilizing sticks to move and block and side parry and all this shit. I can't stand that. And that was one thing that Rise to Honor, while I respected that they did it because it was ahead of its time because no other game was doing that. And I was playing video games obsessively like a religion during this time when the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox and all the fucking, and the GameCube was out. I was playing these games religiously. So I know that there was no major game doing this where you use joysticks to block and move and even to fight. The difference with Jet Li's Rise to Honor is they use both joysticks and you had to use skill to do it. In Callisto Protocol, it doesn't take skill. It's almost a game of chance because you can move to the side and then do another because they add combinations into a system that's not good enough to where you can move to the side and you move to the side. If you do it again, you get hit. And then you are forced to button mash the back button so you can start whacking these fucking monsters. I would respect you having that kind of mechanic in your gameplay if you actually took the time and weren't lazy fucks and actually put effort into making it smooth. It is so clunky. It feels like an old PlayStation 1 survival horror game like Resident Evil 1. Only in, somehow in 2023 it's fucking worse. And that is a major gripe. And you have to utilize that in the whole system through the entire game. I know this because people I've trusted that I've talked to, not just one or two, I've talked to a multitude of people. I've watched reviews from everybody, whether they're reliable or not. Everybody's agreeing that this system is what's used throughout the entire game. And it's obnoxious already 90 minutes in. Plus, I was told from my good friend Dan, I love you, bro, that the final boss fight, he didn't spoil it, but he told me the final boss fight is monotonous child's play that even a toddler could do. Well, I'm sure he's right, because so far, beyond the only challenge of this game is the shitty controls with the blocking and the moving of the joystick like it's Jet Li's Rise to Honor, like I said. That's its only challenge. Other than that, this game is fucking easy as pie, and there's no easy mode. You go on normal, that's normal. You have hardcore, and then you have nightmare, or whatever the fuck everybody wants to put in there. So there's no easy mode. And even a normal mode's easy. So it's like, that's probably why they don't have an easy mode, because normal mode is fucking monotonous garbage. I'm going to finish this, and I'm probably going to beat it, and I'll have my full grade and review on it in the next episode, because I should have it beat by then. If I don't, I'm just going to give up on it and give my review and be like, fuck. Because that'll be a week or two from now, right before Halloween. That'll be the next episode. And then the third episode of this show will finally be what I've promised to everyone for over a year and a half now, which will be the on Halloween, it'll be the Phantasm Retrospective will be out a day before Halloween, I promise. If I don't have it out a day before Halloween, that means I quit this podcast. That's how serious I am about getting it out this time. So, but as far as the Callisto Protocol is concerned, it can go fuck itself. I'm going to finish it, but it better step up something because this has been an embarrassment. So, I'm not impressed so far. So far, I'm a little agitated and pissed off because there's great potential in this game. The cast is great. You got Josh Duhamel. You got Sam Witwer, the fucking Star Killer from Force Unleashed. You have baby girl from The Boys, the Japanese chick. I can't remember her name. She's fantastic. It's not that. That's not the problem. It's how this game is designed. This is what's the fucking problem. So we'll see if it improves. I hope it knocks it out of the park, and I hope that I can say, you know, you guys were wrong. You trashed this game a little too much, and it's not that necessary. It's not that bad. But so far, the hype of the hate has been dead on, and it's making me a little scared. Luckily, I have my fallback one for Halloween horror as far as video games. I'm finally going to finish Resident Evil 4. I'll be going between Callisto and fucking Resident Evil 4. and beating mediocre Saints Row, but as far as the horror shit goes, I'm gonna finish Callisto Protocol, and then I'll have at least Resident Evil 4, the remake, to clean the dirty taste out of my mouth from Callisto. Because so far from what I played from Resident Evil 4, that's night and day. I love that game so far. So we're going to be beating both of them, though, this Halloween season, for better or for worse. And then I'll have a full review a full rating on my review of today. I'll officially be able to articulate my points correctly because I've actually played and beat the game, and I'll go, yep, it was either... Hey, it vastly improved and we were all wrong, or it's dog shit and it gets worse. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I'm getting the heebie-jeebies just thinking about how terrible this shit's going to be. So, we'll see in the next episode. Which leads us to Morgrot. Chucky Season 3. Chucky goes to Washington because he's headed to D.C. this year. I initially reported it was supposed to be New York, but they fucking said that they were going to New York, and then someone pulled back, probably because Scream went to New York, and they didn't want to feel like they were copying, but they're going. Chucky goes to D.C. this year. Mr. Chucky goes to D.C. First off, I'll talk about what I was really initially pissed off. I mentioned this when I was in the intro. This season is fucking pointless, and I'm going to tell you why. Hold on, bro. You hate everything, Billy. This season is pointless because the strike of the actors and the writers. The writer's strike's done, but the actor strike is still going on as I'm recording this, even now. Because the actors aren't bucking. They're either going to get what they want or we're never going to get actors again. And the studios got their ego. And they're like, think so? Then we'll just hire AI and new actors. Fuck you. So someone's going to have to give. But the point of the matter is, this season is only 4 episodes. We got 3 left because of the strike. You guys knew there was a strike and you didn't finish the season. You should have not released it in October. This is ludicrous nonsense bullshit. It is ridiculous that you release something that is incomplete. You are now taking the video game company motto of, you're going to pay full price for this shit, and we're going to release an incomplete season. This shit needs to stop. It is getting old, and it's getting repetitive, and it is getting ridiculous. I am tired of having to pay, because it's not like Chucky. You have to pay for it. You have one or two options of paying for it. You either have cable, which you have to pay for, or you have to buy it through the streaming service, because it's on Peacock now. It only took them 2 years to start fucking putting it on. But either way, you're going to have to pay to see Chucky. And we're going to get an incomplete season. And we don't know when the fucking second half of the season's going to be done. Which means, it brings me to my point, then you shouldn't have released it until we knew everything was... I don't care if it meant that we had to wait until next Halloween to get it. At least we would have had a complete season. A complete 8 to 10 episode arc, not this 4 episode shit and we're done because the writer and the actor strike happened. Then you don't do it. Then you don't release it. You film what you can film. You do what you can do with the writers and the actors that you can do. And then you stop production and you wait. And then when you finish, when you restart production again, you finish it off and then you release it to the public. This is basic 101 mathematics arithmetic. A simple fucking donkey can get this shit. A brain-dead zombie, a fucking ape could get this shit. A chimp can get this shit, but Hollywood cannot. It's so frustrating, it's so aggravating, and right off the bat, I already hate your season. Even before I've seen it, I'm already biased to it because of the circus tactics that you pieces of shit are pulling. And it's not just me. My mother's a diehard Chucky fan. Probably knows more about it than most of y'all out here. Knows more about it than I do. Because I don't like Chucky like that. I'm a Phantasm Halloween Friday the 13th fan. I respect Chucky for what he is as an icon. And I love Brad Dourif. He's a fucking phenomenal. He gets his flowers. You know, that's what you kids are now saying now in wrestling. Like, let's give him the flowers. Robert deserves his flowers. Doug Bradley deserves his flowers. Angus Scrimm should have got his way before he died. Tony Todd, you can go down the line. And I respect Brad Dourif. He should get his flowers due. But the fact of the matter is, I don't care that much about Chucky. And this actually pulled me back in, and this shit's pulling me out. And even my mom's upset. Like, this is ridiculous. She said, simple shit that everybody else, why did they release it then if it's not finished? Because she's already gone. She's still sticking with American Horror Story, which I've given up on. I'm not reviewing that shit. It's fucking garbage. And not because Kim Kardashian joined the cast. It's just garbage now. If we're all critically honest with one another, and especially the diehard horror fans or American Horror Story fans that stayed with it up to this point, I did up until this season. Last season was the last straw. But if we were all honest with ourselves, American Horror Story died after the third season with The Coven. That was the best season, and then went downhill from there. But no one wants to admit that. Because there's been bright spots here and there. But the point of the matter is that's being cut in half because of the writer's strike, too. So once again, even Ryan Murphy and American Horror Story are doing it. It's ridiculous. I scratch my head and I go, how? How can you be this inept at your jobs? I really don't get it. But here we are, and we start off the season with, after that long diatribe and rant, I'm sorry, but it pisses me off. It's obnoxious. It's making my voice go out. Because I've had to yell and scream about it. I'm like, this is enough. It's enough. But you don't need to know much about the new season of Chucky. The opening, shit happens. We see the three teenagers navigating through their lives. Lexi is doing TikToks and dancing and, you know, laying thirst traps, as she exactly said herself. She's like, if I have to lay thirst traps out here to find out where my sister is, my lost sister is, then that's what I gotta do. I'm speechless. I'm speechless at the stupidity of that logic. And then the other kids doing something. They fucking eat, they kiss and fuck each other, whatever. We're still with his relationship, you know, because Don Mancini is a homosexual man. And I respect that. I don't care. I really don't. But this, on again, this fucking Rachel Ross shit with the two gay kids, it gets old. It was annoying when Rachel and Ross were doing it. They're on again. They're off again. Now they're finally in a good spot. So I don't care about them. I don't care about Lexi. I don't care about her thirst trap. I don't care about any of the characters other than the fact when they're in danger with Chucky. Because all we've come to see Chucky for is him to get the fucking carnage candy and say, don't fuck with the Chuck. Make some one-liners and then kill people. I know that sounds like bloodlust, but that's what the Child's Play films are about. That's what the fucking Bride of Chucky. And then we get into Seed of Chucky, and that's where we get the fucking comedy, yuck, 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 kiki, kiki shit. That's garbage. That I cannot stand. For the life of me, I don't understand why we are doing this. And we had to throw some of those in this episode. And there's only one kill in this episode for a 4-episode season. A Secret Service agent gets his head blown off, and that was cool, but it takes us about 38 minutes to what is a 43-minute show. And then we get all this bullshit and yada, 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 to the rest of the episode. And then it sets up for Chucky calling them and telling them, hey, I'm coming for you, little punks. Just like we've done in the last two seasons. So far, we're not off to a good start. Season one was so great. I hold that not just as a standard of that show, but I hold that as one of the greatest fucking season ones of all time. I'll die on that hill. And there's a lot of great season ones for the shows of Lost, 24, Breaking Bad. Like, this is up there with the Sopranos. Those first seasons, The Wire, those first seasons of shows where you're just like, that show's fucking great and I can't wait to see what happens next. This Chucky season one is up there with those shows. Unfortunately, they shit the bed after the first season. Like a lot of shows do and like a lot of shows don't. So, you're compared into the upper echelon of season ones, but now you're failing to actually complete what those other great shows, like I just mentioned, Breaking Bad and Sopranos and Better Call Saul and The Wire did. They actually progressed the stories past the second season and third. You're not doing too good, Don. And it hurts me because the first season was a fucking banger, as you kids like to say nowadays. So, there you go. Season 1 off to a terrible start. The first episode, I would give a 4 out of 10. I wouldn't say it's not worth your time until we see what the next 3 episodes are. And then we'll be reviewing those in a later date. So, God, this was and I'm not happy to trash this because, like, I've hit over your head. Just season 1 was fantastic. It's some of the best Chucky shit that we've got since the first 2 Chucky movies. And those are the best. With an honorable mention to Bride of Chucky. These new seasons are just fucking... they're Grot Ghoul shit. They don't even deserve the Grot Goblin. They deserve Grot Ghoul. Below Grot Goblin, you're a Grot Ghoul just sucking the dry ball sack sweat from Satan. Like, it's just disgusting, and it's the bottom of the barrel shit. And I'm tired of it. I don't like doing these rants, trust me. But people don't want to step up their game, so someone's got to have their feet held to the fucking fire. It's obnoxious. God, I'm over this shit. So there you go. And then it brings us to our next main offender. Saw X. We're just going to get right into it. This will probably be one of the shorter episodes because I don't hate Saw X. A part of me thinks there's a lot of points in this movie that's absolutely brilliant. But the more I think about it, I don't know. I've seen this movie. I'm going to see it a second time. So I think I'm going to have a triple feature because someone's been telling me that I need to see this movie called Evil Never Lurks or some shit. Let me look it up. We'll look it up as I'm talking, but I'm going to have a triple feature with that movie, The Exorcist Believer, and I'm going to go see Saw X again. So to support Saw X, not just to support what's more than a decent movie? I think Saw X is one of my favorite in the series, but it's also the one I hate the most. Because there's so many conflicting storylines that you undermine the previous films, especially Saw 3 and Saw 7. And if that's what you're trying to do, which, you know, for a lot of people are the worst entries in the series, even though Saw 5 to me is the worst. Because it's just the same trap literally over and over and over again. And it's not really that brutal. And when I say it's not that, it's not even desensitization. The movie's so phoned in. The most brutal part is when Hoffman fucking backs into the case and the dude backs in the way and then the dude gets crushed to death. Like, the ending scene is the most brutal shit. Other than that, Saw 5 is repeat, 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 same Saw over and over again, and the story sucks. The story's fucking garbage. When Evil Lurks, that's the name of the movie. People have been telling, oh, When Evil Lurks is fucking brutal, and it's a great horror movie, and I found one theater close by. It's a little way out, but that'll play this, and they have Saw. I've already looked in advance, because they have in advance what you can see in a week, and then I think it's up to Thursday. I'll triple check again on Thursday, but I think I can get these all in succession, and I'll discuss. I won't discuss Saw again because we're just gonna go through it now. I've already did a review on Filmmaker Mike and the Boys, but I needed to articulate my points a little bit better here. I didn't hate Saw X, and I know it does come off of that, especially in that review. I didn't hate Saw X. I thought it was a refreshing step in the right direction. That undermines everything. Not everything, but a lot of things in the previous films. Like I said, especially Saw 3 and especially Saw 7. Saw 3 especially because... And I understand that Amanda's character, Shawnee Smith's character, goes through a lot in Saw 2. But in this prequel, it is night and day because... This is a sequel to Saw 1, but a prequel to Saw 2, because these are the events that happened right after Saw 1, but just before the events of Saw 2. And this isn't just me talking out of my ass, this is from the director himself. Okay, so we know this is where the canonical timeline goes. She's a sweetheart in this fucking movie. Not a sweetheart to an extent with a psycho, but she's like, she genuinely cares about the people surviving these traps, even though these people are low life pieces of garbage. She, like, that's where the comedy kind of comes in, because she's like, you're going to want to pay attention to this. It's going to be really important for you so you can survive. And it's like, she actually genuinely cares, especially when she get when we get to the kid where we have the waterboarding blood trap that was unforeseen by even Jigsaw and Amanda, because this supervillain doctor scammer bitch is one step ahead of him, apparently, even though she's not, as we see at the end of the movie. But we have, the point of the matter is we see Shawnee, we see Amanda's heart. We see that she actually cares, that she understands that as fucked up as this mentality is, she understands that John Kramer is using his trauma and his hate for what's going on for him to actually try and help people. It's in a twisted, fucked up way that usually mutilates and mangles people. But if you survive these traps, you live and you're supposed to be a better person for it and cherish your life. Almost trying to play God, which is another implication on the Saw series. But the fact of the matter is she has this heart and this soul, and you see that she actually understands. In Saw 3, she's a ruthless bitch that doesn't care. She makes traps that you cannot get out of. Even John Kramer, before he's on, while he's on his deathbed, is like, that's the whole, you know, I'm not trying to spoil it for people that didn't see Saw 3. Although, if you haven't seen Saw 3 at this point, you're not gonna. It was 2003, 2004, like, come on. But the point of the matter is, without trying to really spoil it, even John Kramer goes, hey, this isn't how I designed you to be. My, you're making traps that people can't beat. He's like, I wouldn't even fucking do that shit. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care. They've got to suffer. They've got to learn their garbage. Human garbage. They all like that kind of mentality. That's not what she says, but that's her mentality in Saw 3. So it is night and day from Saw X, which is now canon. It's official. You can argue and debate just like you do with Spiral. It is meant from the studio, from the directors, from the writers, from everybody involved. This is canon. And I just don't understand how she goes from a person with compassion, even though she may be fucked up. You know, she was a junkie. Let's not forget that. That fucks up the brain and the body quite a bit. And she's a kind-hearted, you know, a recovering junkie that, you know... This is why this movie makes you... This is why I have the problem with this movie, because it makes you have a moral problem. It makes you have a moral issue. It makes you look like, fuck, I'm sympathizing with the people that are wretched garbage. But the victims in this movie are far more grotesque, wretched garbage than anything John Kramer or Amanda can be accused of. Because we're not just talking about scammers who scam John. You know, that obviously that's what sets off the fucking story, that John Kramer got scammed and he found a cure. The story, the shortened story without, shortened curlies of the story without having to spoil it. Excuse me. Here's the cliff notes of the story without spoiling it. John Kramer is approached by people who have this cure that they say they can cure his cancer and completely eradicate it. There's tiptoeing, but let's just call it what it is. They can get rid of his cancer. He goes to Mexico. It's located in Mexico somewhere. And he gets... It turns out that all these people are scammers. I'm not going to go into detail because you want the detail. Go see the fucking movie. Me going into detail will spoil it. I want you to spoil it for yourself because at the end of the day, this is a pretty decent, solid movie. So that's the inciting incident. They're scammers. And when you really get down without spoiling it, I know I keep saying that, but when you really get down into it and get into the movie and the meat and potatoes, you cannot root for these people. Not just because they're scammers. You actually get their backstory and who they are as characters and their morals and their ethics or lack thereof. And you're like, fuck it. Kill them, Amanda. Kill them, John. They deserve to die. There's one redeemable character, maybe. And they fucked that up to a point where, like, well, the junkie girl who Amanda has a kinship with because she was a junkie too. She went through the trap and survived it, and she's pulling for her. And the girl did what she did because she did it for her obsession and her need to chase the dragon. You can't have, if you've never been on drugs or had someone in your life who you know, like myself, who has been on drugs and watched it for yourself, you have no idea what it is, what junkies will go to the lengths they will go to get money to get their drugs, to get whatever they're drinking, to get whatever vice it is. They will cut their own grandmother's throat. Because the addiction is that bad. That's why they call it chasing the fucking dragon. Because you can never catch up with that initial euphoria you got from the first jab, or the puff, or the drink. It'll never come back. So she has a kinship with this young girl. She really wants her to survive. She doesn't, obviously. Spoiler alert, nobody really. Like, who survives in Saw movies? That's a consistent, like, at the end of the day, everybody goes, except for that one person who needs to progress the sequel so they can make more money. But all in all, we all know, it's a fucked up trap, too. It's like a fucking radiation trap where she's tied up, and it's like, she gets out of it but doesn't survive because the villainous bitch of the story, the main scammer bitch, caves her fucking head in, and like, oh, fuck. And then you hate her even more and want John Kramer to win even more, which leads up to it. Long story short, I'm not going to get all into the movie because I don't want to spoil it, because there's a waterboarding blood trap that comes in with a young kid that makes you very, very, very uncomfortable. Even me, who I think I don't know what movie everybody else is seeing, I don't think this movie is brutal at all. Not, it's got brutal shit, especially when you get into the brain salad surgery trap. That one's real fucking brutal, where people are pulling brain out of their head. And now I'll leave it at that without having to spoil any more. There's some other limbs and shit. But it's not as brutal as, like, Saw 3 was grotesque. Even, like, my mom almost threw up in the theater. Because of some, like, especially the pig trap. If I'm not mistaken, Saw 3 was the pig trap, where the pigs just kept going in, and it was filling up, and all the ooze and disgusting pig guts, and like it made your tum tum go, oh, I don't know. Especially if you're weak at this shit. There was, you know, chains and like Amanda developed some fucked up traps. And then we get a twist that, you know, and one night I'm in Amanda, you know, I'm going Hoffman. Oh, you know, that stupid shit. Even though Gordon was the successor. That's what you told us in the final chapter. But, you know, who cares about continuity and anything? You know, fuck lore when you can just keep making this is going to turn in. If this keeps going, because this movie was a success for what it was, and they already want to make Saw 11. Wink, wink, Saw 12. But they already want to make Saw 11.
And I've heard they're already going forward with it regardless, because this movie has made the money they needed back, and it's still making some significant money considering Exorcist is coming out and Tay-Tay's coming out with her concert movie soon. It's still doing well at the box office for the Halloween, so it's enough to greenlight a sequel. It will be happening. So it's going to be a Michael Myers Halloween timeline where, you know, you take this timeline as it is, or you take this continuity as it is. Only, I think Saw will do a little bit better job of cleaning it up, because they love the M. Night Shyamalan twists. So, all in all, I had a good time with this movie, but I also hated it for some of its contradictory bullshit. And if they clean that up in 11, maybe I'll be wrong. And I'm sick of Hoffman. I think he's a fucking mediocre apprentice. I really do. Quite frankly, for those of you who haven't seen it, won't understand this. For those of us that have seen it, I saw a theory from 3C Film, and I hope his theory is correct after all this. Because if Gordon can't be it, and Amanda can't be it, which is what it should have been in the first place, but we've already screwed the pooch on that. And those that don't know will find out in Saw 3. You'll find why we screwed the pooch on that. Especially if you haven't seen it yet. I would sorely recommend at least watching Saw 1 and Saw 3 to understand Saw X. Saw 2, I would say watch the whole trilogy, because I would. So honestly, this is how I would do it. If I were you and you've never seen, I'd say watch Saw 1, watch Saw X, then watch Saw 2 and Saw 3, and then you come back to tell me and tell me. That's exactly how it should go. You should watch Saw 1, go to the theater, see Saw X, or if by the time this you hear this recording, it's on digital, see rent, Saw, have Saw X, then go see Saw, then see Saw 2 and Saw 3. That's the order it should be. And you'll understand why I'm so confused at this continuity and why we're going down this road and why I say it contradicts shit. It just doesn't make sense. Other than those small nitpicks and, oh, yeah, the fuck of Hoffman, the new apprentice, I agree with 3C Films, make the boy the new apprentice. Work it in there with your new sequels with Saw, because you said you want to make three more, you want to make two more, you want to make a new trilogy. Saw X, Saw 11, and Saw 12. Let the boy be the new, and those that haven't seen it won't know, you'll know when you see it, and those that have know who I'm talking about. The boy, let the boy, especially after what he went through with the waterboarding. So let the boy do it. There you go. Overall, that's my spiel. My grade is, on a bad day, it's 7 out of 10. But right now, I'm in a good mood. I say it's a solid 8 out of 10 film. It's not perfect, but it's the best we've had in a long time, especially when you consider Jigsaw and Spiral, which were fucking garbage, dumpster fire pieces of big fucking piece of shit. Yeah, this is a great step in the right direction. I'm sorry for that, but those two movies were fucking trash. They were white trash, and they belonged on Jerry Springer, not in the fucking theater like where they were released. They were terrible, and the apprentices were fucking shit. And that's another reason why 3C had that theory where I hope that boy comes and just wipes out all of the apprentices. That should be the next films. Him taking charge and showing his traps to the and wiping out the rest of the apprentices. Fuck Hoffman. Amanda, I won't say what, Amanda's gone, fuck Hoffman, you won't use Gordon, so fuck Gordon, fuck the other guy from Jigsaw, and fuck, and definitely fuck Spiral's apprentice. So, we're in a state of hurt, but we're in a good direction. So, I say Saw X, it's a solid. If you can't get a matinee, you need to stream it as soon as possible, because it was a good film. It was a good film. So where I'll leave it at. I've taken up your guys' time enough. I'm sorry about all the rants and the raves and the heaps and the heaps and the jeebs and the heaps. But, you know, Israel's getting bombed right now. So, you know, all these anti-Semitic people are going out and they're saying, hip-hop, hooray, they're finally. So, you know, we're over here watching horror movies. Happy Halloween to everybody. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys taking your time out of your day to listen to this fuckwit, stupid piece of shit, rant and rave. It's like our therapy session. Well, it's therapy for me, but in the next episode, we will have a more coherent more structured episode because I'm going to give my recommendations of the Halloween Horror Month. By then, I should have seen Exorcist Believer and the other two movies that are... I will have seen Saw X again and then When Evil Lurks or whatever this shit is. Gotta know because I gotta know what movie I'm going to see. But yes, I will have definitely seen Exorcist Believer. And probably The Nun Chapter 2 as well, and I'll review what I already know is a lackluster piece of dog shit. So, thank you guys for your time. I love you. Be kind to one another. Watch some good fucking horror movies for me. And if you have any recommendations, let me know. I haven't seen them all, trust me. I'll get into that next episode, the list of movies, the top 50 list I made of horror movies I have yet to see, and I'm watching them this Halloween. So, love you guys. Take care of yourselves, and peace.